Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. And as always on Tuesday, we're brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Service and price mean everything to all of us every day. We want great service. We want a price that fits our budget. Well, at Kratzer Insurance, they believe the same thing that you and I believe. Auto, home, life, business insurance. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. I'm here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywoods, 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And very pleased to be joined now by the head football coach of the Nittany Lions, James Franklin. And James, coach, great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having us on. Fired up.
Fired up indeed. Let's talk about the event coming up tomorrow night. You know, it's going to be at 6 o'clock. They'll open the doors at 5. What do you want to do with that event tomorrow night in terms of connecting these recruits with the university and the fans?
I think that's exactly what we're trying to do. Me and my staff, you know, our players, the incoming freshmen. You know, to me, the thing that makes college football so exciting is it's not a fall sport. You know, you have the games to get excited about during the fall, but you know, people follow recruiting as intensely as they do the regular season. So this is an opportunity to celebrate the future, what our future holds, able to get out and connect with the community and the campus, continue to build relationships and have fun. And it's an opportunity to bring everybody together. We would like it to be a whiteout. And, you know, I think Michael Maldi's coming back. He's going to be kind of be the hype man, get everybody excited. And LeVar's going to be up there emceeing the event with me, the cheerleaders, the band. Everybody's going to be there. And it's a celebration of our future and where we're going.
Yeah, I talked to LeVar at Super Bowl Media Day last week. We were both in New York for that, and he was excited about the event. You talked about connecting, and you've always talked to me and everybody else about relationships. Obviously, there are certain recruits in this class where you develop those strong relationships, and they're going to come here to Penn State. But there are also others that you probably had not or had on the peripheral of recruiting that you had to quickly build a relationship with. What was that process like with a few guys that you didn't know to build that relationship and trust that Penn State was the right place and James Franklin was the right place?
Yeah, that's difficult. I mean, this is an unusual year. You know, obviously, you're looking in a situation where typically it takes a year and a half to 2 years to really recruit a class and put it together. I think, first of all, I think Penn State really helps with that because this school offers everything that young men and their families are looking for. And then I think the other thing is, you know, I got a staff that's very relatable. I got a staff that's very genuine. And I think, you know, once we're able to get into the homes, once we're able to get around these kids, they see that, you know, and we're willing to answer the tough questions. We're willing to have the tough conversation and discussions and work through some things. But in the end, I think it comes down to a gut feeling and people feeling comfortable with us and the leadership of this program. And then obviously the history and traditions of this place speaks for itself.
When you recruit the young man, obviously you try to build that trust in the relationship. How important is it also to you to build that same, to build a strong relationship with parent or caretaker because you are taking their son for obviously the next 4 or 5 years?
Oh, I think it's very, very important. It's very important, obviously, to have the relationship with the kid, but you're not going to be able to get it done and do it with just the kid. You know, it may be the high school coach, it may be the parents, it may be a combination of both. It may be an uncle. You know, it might be somebody that, you know, has got a very, very close relationship with the family and has for a long time. So you got to figure out who those people are, you know, and it's like, you know, always, you know, when these young men decide to come, you know, these young men got in this position because of their support system and the people that have been there for them. And I got to have a relationship with those people as well so they feel comfortable to pick up the phone and call me if there's a concern or there's an issue. This is not, you know, this isn't going to go perfect. These guys went from being, you know, the best players and the biggest, strongest, fastest guys in high school, and they're not anymore. and there's going to be homesickness, there's going to be adversity they're going to have to fight through. And when you have those relationships and you've sat in the home and broke bread and paid respect at the high school as well, you're able to work through those things together because you know the right people to call.
We know that in the SEC, the emphasis almost across the board is on speed, almost across the board. Maybe some of the big guys in front, but even they have to be somewhat athletic too. Is that your point of emphasis when you're looking at people in terms of the athleticism part, the speed area?
Yeah, I can't speak about conferences, but I know that's how we're going to build it here at Penn State. We're going to be the fastest team in the Big Ten. And when you say that, a lot of people think you're talking about the DBs and the wide receivers, but I'm talking about the kickers. I'm talking about the O-linemen.
Right.
I'm talking about every position. They've got to be able to move. It's got to have flexibility. It's got to have functional movement, you know, to their position. But we want athleticism and speed and explosive athletic players at every single position on our team.
When you sit down and you look at what you've been able to do and accomplish and how the pieces can potentially fit, and I throw that list of names in front of you, do you like the list of names you have?
I do. I really do, and especially considering the circumstances. I mean, I'm so proud of the staff and the players that hosted and things like that. I mean, think about it. I mean, again, it takes a 2 years to a year and a half to put a recruiting class together, and we've done fairly well considering we've had about 2 weeks to do it. So I'm very, very pleased. The guys just kept recruiting and kept a positive attitude. Like I said before, there's so many positive things to sell here. And you know, and people believe that. People believe in kind of where we're going, the direction. They look at our history and the success that we've had in the past, and now we're at a school that has all the resources to allow everybody to reach their dreams. So, you know, I'm very, very proud. I'm very appreciative of all the hard work that everybody's put in.
You mentioned the year and a half to 2 years it takes to build a relationship, which then brings forward the next part, 15 and 16. What kind of start do you have there based on the fact that you had to just go through a three-week compressed recruiting cycle?
Yeah, I think we're behind. There's no doubt about it because most people have most of the recruiting class put together. So now, this time of year, they're really spending the last month or two recruiting underclassmen. So we're behind. There's no doubt about it. It'll take till, you know, the following recruiting class for us to be caught up. But, you know, I like our chances. You know, there's some things that we got to get done and some things from a facility standpoint that we need to do, and you know, continue to develop relationships and make sure we know where all the great players are. I think we got a pretty good start, but we're behind. But we'll make that up real quick with great attitudes and hard work. It's amazing what you can get done.
James, how energized have you been by this 3 weeks and by this process?
Well, I love it. I'm a psycho in general. I mean, I wake up, do backhand spring out of bed every single morning, go attack the day. I love making a difference in people's lives and coaching young people. That's why I love college football so much. You know, recruiting high school athletes and helping them develop, and you know, coming to the office every single day with my family, my football family. I love it. So I mean, this is just kind of who I am. I'm a football psycho. Try to be the best. You know, try to be the best football coach. Try to be the best father and husband and person I possibly can be. And I think, you know, we tell our guys all the time, the more days you put together like that, academically, athletically, socially, and spiritually, the Saturdays will start taking care of themselves.
Well, great. Then you have your announcer psycho. So you're
okay. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We're going to work well together.
Yeah, we sure are. I'm looking forward to every minute of it. One final question, and then I'll let you go, and that deals with tomorrow. Whiteout. Open the doors at 5. Admission is $5 to get in. Program starts at 6. What can they expect in the program? What are some basics you want in that program tomorrow night?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we just want to have fun. We want to interact with the community. We want to interact with the fans. You know, we want to, you know, show the direction of the program, where we're going. You know, Michael Maldi's going to be there. He's going to get everybody excited, kind of the hype man. LeVar Arrington's going to do a great job with us as well. The media, the fans, the band, the cheerleaders. This is a celebration of Penn State football, where we're going. So I think everybody's really excited about it.
James, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Know you have to move on to something else, and we just appreciate that you carved out a few minutes for us.
Guys, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
James Franklin, the head football coach of the Nittany Lions. We'll go through the thumbnails of the nuggets out of that in a few moments as we come back. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Attention residents of Central PA. The sub-zero temperatures are expected for at least another week, but Sunbury Motors is about to heat things up.
I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia is blasting through this cold winter weather.
Check out these hot deals.
22 of the snow-busted 2014 Sereno all-wheel drive midsize SUVs starting at $23,999. With up to $4,500 off and 0% APR financing available for up to 60 months. How about the all-new redesigned 2014 Kia Soul? 10 to choose from starting at $14,995. Or the 2014 Sportage LX, only $21,965. And every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia helps you blast through the cold with these hot deals. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com. All applicable factory rebates apply. Tax and tax extra must qualify. Specialty incentives apply. 0% financing through KMF will affect final price.
All right, today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Service of price mean everything to them. They pass it along to you. Auto, home, life, business insurance, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, let's go through that interview again one more time and a couple things and notes in there. He feels good, and every coach in the country is going to tell you they feel good about their recruiting class at National Letter of Intent Day. Every coach is going to do that. It is that simple. Okay? But you can tell he feels good based on especially the time frame that they worked under. Building relationships. Obviously, when you look at the players that had committed to Vanderbilt and then changed the commitment to Penn State, those are the guys that he built the 1.5 to 2 year relationship with to get them to this point, and he felt great about that, and they felt great about him, thus that's the reason they turned. They are behind on 15 and 16 recruiting because they had to throw all their energy into this three-week span. Again, part of that is also getting up to speed with the high school coaches in the state and so forth, which they will very quickly because he's so committed to that. And he admits, he says, okay, that 15-16 part, a little bit behind right now because they had to throw so much into the last 3 weeks. Very proud of his staff for what they did. They logged a lot of miles doing this, but he feels very good about the names that he has in front of him right now. They have one more opening, by the way. There is one opening available. Right now they have 19 verbals and 5 early entries for 24. So they have one more if there's somebody else out there they think they can get. And they're working on that now to see if it's a possibility. Whether it happens or not, we'll find out between right now and tomorrow at this time. The 1.5 to 2 year, and the next part is, out of that, how hard they had to work on the young men they didn't know and the parents they didn't know to convince them to stay with their commitment to Penn State. Because the ones that went from Vanderbilt, here, they had a long-standing year-and-a-half to two-year relationship with in some cases. That's how you build a recruiting class, as he pointed out. So with the Vanderbilt recruits that then changed their verbals to Penn State, they had that relationship. There were some guys in the recruiting class for Penn State that they have had contact with and thus already had some relationship with. I mean, even a couple of the established players, for example, Adrian Amos was recruited heavily by James Franklin. He knows him really well. Well, there are a couple of guys in the recruiting class that Bill O'Brien recruited that had contact with Vanderbilt as well. But there's also a segment in that group that they had had really very little contact or peripheral contact with, and they had to go in there, meet the young man, meet the family, basically sell themselves along with the university again as to it being the right place for them to go to, and they said yes to it. So those are the nuggets out of that interview, how hard they had to work with the Bill O'Brien recruits they didn't know and how quickly they had to establish a relationship. The next nugget out of that is that they're behind on 15 and 16, but they're going to catch up. But he admits they're behind on 15 and 16 a bit because of this three-week span. And then the other part in all this that I take out of it is the that he is very pleased, like I think any coach is, with the names that he has on his sheet right now where they can help Penn State. Now, every coach is going to say that at this time. But those are the three principal nuggets I took out of that interview. So, and of course, we'll have it on stevejonesshow.com on the podcast. Kevin is downloading his Olympic app.
No, I'm setting up getting the podcast ready so that when 5 o'clock rolls around, everybody will be ready to go.
Yeah. You have an Olympic app.
Of course I have an Olympic app. Why would you not think that?
Yeah, it works really well, too.
There is not one person that listens to this program that would think I did not have an Olympic app.
Yes, but it works really well, doesn't it?
It works fine.
Excuse me, the one time we really needed it in the show, what happened?
Oh, no, that was not the same thing. You're talking about during the summer games when I'm watching, what was it, the 100 for Michael Phelps, and it locked up on me. Right before Michael Phelps is about ready to touch the wall. That was not fun. That wasn't the app's fault.
Oh, no.
That was NBC's fault.
Oh, sure it was.
I didn't go to the NBC app this time. I opted for the Sochi 2014 app.
Ah, the Made in Russia app. that's going to work really great. Fabulous.
I'm thinking I'm going to be in great shape with that. I mean, everything else works so well right now, and so it shouldn't be a problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So the James Franklin interview, okay? Pleased with the job of the staff and also with the 24 names he has in front of him right now. Number two, admits being behind in 15 and 16 recruiting because of the energy they had to put into the last 2 or 3 weeks. Part of that is nugget number three, how hard they had to work to establish quick relationships with parents and with recruits that were not recruited by Vanderbilt and recruited by Bill O'Brien and his staff that they wanted to keep in this class. They had to work very hard on that part of it on top of what else they were doing. So I think that's what I take out of it. The event's tomorrow. Jordan Center, 5 o'clock. Doors open. Admission, $5. Whiteout tomorrow. Michael Motti, before it gets rolling, will be up in front of the crowd. LeVar Arrington will be the MC tomorrow with James Franklin. They will show videos on the screen of all 24 recruits. If there's a 25th, we'll find out tomorrow. They'll show videos of all 24 recruits so the crowd can see exactly what they're getting from their high school performances, and then they're going to set up some Skype interviews as well. That's how it's going to go. Yeah, and I think it's great they're doing this. And he said the primary purpose for him is to connect with the Penn State fan and make it into a celebration where it's a great celebration for the young men that they're being, that it's a big deal at Penn State that they came here. And he also wants to share that with the fans because the fans are critical in getting these players here. That's the entire purpose. And those are the three nuggets out of that interview. How many miles he's traveled, who knows? Tim Van Horn from Big Ten, from ESPN.com on Big Ten Recruiting is going to join us on Thursday. Tomorrow, Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated, and Greg Pickle of Fight on State will be on the show tomorrow. Kevin also has the first of a 10-part series starring Sean Connery, To Russia with Love.
I'm surprised somebody hasn't thought to show that yet. I think it was from.
Doesn't matter. They had to truck in snow.
I thought that was just a rumor. I didn't think that was actually true, though. Hey, I know we have... Go ahead.
No, it's okay. No,
I was going to say, I know we have a news break coming up shortly, but do you think the NFL considers having another outdoor Northern-style Super Bowl?
In 10 years.
You think it's going to take that long?
Yes. They already have the next three set up.
Well,
I mean, the next three are Glendale, Santa Clara, and Houston.
I wonder.
That's three down, seven to go, Kev.
Next time we talk with Tony Knopp, I'll be interested to see if the NFL did lose any money from sponsors because of it being a cold weather city. That was one of the things he talked about.
Yeah, he said they've already doubled down on next year's game in Glendale.
Sad.
Maybe one of these days we'll get the Broncos and the Vikings to face each other. That way we'll, you know, or the Vikings take on the Bills, call it the breakthrough game.
I think I'd rather see a blowout.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. Service and price, the name of the game, and they understand it. Auto, home, life, business insurance, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. Here in the Sunbury Motor Studio, where we're headed, we are now into our third year. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This is the combined efforts of what Bill O'Brien put together with his staff and what James Franklin and his staff finished off. It'll be tomorrow. Right now, they have one opening on this list. They had one player evidently decommit and has decided that he wants to go to Kentucky. That's fine.
He was what they call a soft commit by many reports anyway, from what I read.
Yeah, well, life is a soft commit.
Okay.
I mean, really, I have a soft commit to the Olympics. What?
Soft commit, so I wouldn't even go that far.
Well, I mean, I'll give it, surely you'll get something from me at some point. But, you know, you get to this point, tomorrow faxes will roll in, get this thing taken care of. They have the five early entries, which is important because... You know, I mean, one's a wide out, one's a defensive tackle that they really want, one's an offensive tackle. Of course, O'Connor, the quarterback, because they only had Hackenberg on scholarship until they got him. That's all they're going to have in the spring, are two scholarship quarterbacks. Third one will enter here in August in the preseason. But this goes back to the conversation he and I had. And I did not bother this time to bring up the issue of positional balance and recruiting because we had him on 2 weeks ago and I talked about it then. But the bottom line about this group will catch up, and they'll catch up like that. But he admits that when it comes to 15-16 recruiting, as we heard just now, he admits they're behind. And part of it is because they had to work so hard on the O'Brien staff recruits that had committed to Penn State because he wanted to go in, build relationships with the young men and their families about them staying the course and staying with Penn State. That takes work, takes time, and also takes you away from another segment of recruiting. They had to shore up the 14 class ASAP, and because of that, the work that they would normally do on 15 and 16, they did some, but not what they usually can do. That will then hit high gear starting probably tomorrow night. But there are certain reasons for that. I think they have done a remarkable job based on the circumstances and the amount of miles that they logged in. Very impressive. When I look at the positional balance, there are a lot of defensive backs in this class, a lot of wideouts in this class. But that was the other part he talked about, and this was the fourth nugget out of the interview. He wants across-the-board speed. He wants Penn State to be the quickest, fastest team in the Big Ten. That's what he wants. And he said, in every position, you just can't be a plugger. You have to be somebody. I mean, I know that Sean Spencer talks about pluggers at that three technique DT spot, right? But that person's going to have to run as well. You look at Jordan Hill. I saw Jordan Hill last week at Super Bowl Media Day. Jordan Hill can run. He can run, all right? Well, they need that. They need guys at every – he emphasized that because I said, look, you were in the Southeastern Conference. The name of the game is speed. I said, is that your vision here at Penn State? He said, we have to have all 22 positions where you can run.
That now, answer asking, sounded like an affirmative right there.
Oh, exactly. No, he wants it across the board, the speed. Now, okay, let's say Christian Hackenberg. You're saying, well, you know, he really can't run. Not really. When you watch Christian run. He can move. There are a few times I've watched him take off in practice. He can move. Okay, they are not playing the theme, the Chariots of Fire, as he moves. And believe me, I've seen many a guy here where I thought they could play the theme, the Chariots of Fire, especially when they were running the sprints. Woo! Not going to get into names. A couple guys that just could not make it here. Even some of them, one guy was even a, quote, five-star guy. They put him in the sprint line. Oh, my goodness. It was shocking. It was an offensive lineman, but he couldn't run. The game has changed so much on the college level. Guys that were defensive backs and safeties 20 years ago are now linebackers. Guys that were outside linebackers 20 years ago, they're now defensive ends. Tight ends with speed, you have a couple of them? Wow. Well, I can tell you right now, Carter and Brenneman can both run, and James is the quickest of all. James is a 4.5 guy, 4.55. Realize that Jesse James a 4.55 guy?
Oh, I would have guessed it when I watched him a couple of years just running. I mean, everything about him is just good. So yeah, I would have guessed that just seeing him come off the line.
I mean, freakish. But Brenneman can really run. Carter can run. Wilkerson's okay, you know, and obviously the tight end they have in this recruiting class I've only seen on tape, so. But that's what he's looking for, and that's what he talks about in the interview. The interview, of course, posted on stevejonesshow.com, so you can listen to the podcast in case you missed it.
It'll be there in about 17 minutes.
Oh, you're killing me.
Listen, take me through letter of intent day, because all of a sudden it seems as though this is handled by media like the NFL draft. Now, at one point, I'm sure schools got everything together and just released it as one big, massive piece of information. I was going to say, it seems as though now, more than ever, it's every time a letter comes in and a release goes out.
At some schools, yeah, that's the way it is. Of course, here, Joe never wanted to do anything like that, ever. In fact, Joe would not even have them put the names in the media guide. And that's why, I mean, he just wouldn't do it, because his point was, hey, look, they're here. They haven't put in the time that the senior, junior, sophomore, redshirt freshman have put in. Don't heap expectations on them and so forth. Now, Jeff Nelson, as the season would go along, would put out bios of guys that were starting to get playing time. So, you know, I mean, this year, for example, Brandon Bell, Christian Hackenberg.
Oh, I remember. Like, it was hard to find information on who signed letter of intent.
Yeah. Ronnie Crist of the Patriot News was the one that really broke open the recruiting part of this thing in the 80s. He's really the one that took off with that. Phil Gross has made an industry out of it. Mark Brennan of Fight On States picked it up from there with a little different slant. And we're going to have Tim Owen from Blue White Illustrated on tomorrow and Greg Pickle from Fight On State on tomorrow. Yeah, we'll have that. But what's happened is, because of the explosion of interest in college football, because of the explosion of interest in football in general, you look at the NFL, coverage of free agency, which starts in a couple of weeks, and people will be talking about that on talk shows, free agency, and not the Olympics. When the combine comes up, they'll be talking about the combine numbers and not even as much about college basketball at that point.
I got news for you. 2 days after the Super Bowl, there's already a story on which way the Texans are going to go, whether it's Manziel or Bortles.
Right. So I can tell you which one Bill was.
I got a pretty good idea. I figured you would know.
Yes. And then the next part's going to be the draft. I mean, that's the explosion in interest in football, which then trickles down to the college level, where the interest nationally in recruiting has just gone off the charts, because that's the lifeblood of the program. That's the infusion of new talent that comes in that the fans don't know about and get excited about. And as James Franklin said in the interview, and this is the other part, I mean, there's a lot of little things that you take out of this interview. There's a bunch of stuff in there that's not new and so forth, and I understand that. But there's several items in there that were new. And when you look at, for example, recruiting, college football is now a year-round deal. It is a year-round deal. You can build shows, and we can do shows in June on college football. Maybe June and July are the 2 months you may be able to take off a bit. Maybe. Latter part of May. But you can talk college football anytime virtually during the course of the year and get interest and get the needle to move on ratings. You can do that just by talking about it. Because the next thing James Franklin's going to do is he's going to break the state into 9 parts and assign each one of the assistant coaches to a section of the state, and then assign each one of the assistant coaches to a region. How they recruited this time, okay, was simple. If they were targeting a wide receiver, Josh Gattis, the wide receiver coach, was involved. If they're targeting an offensive lineman, Herb Hand was involved. If it was a defensive lineman, it was Sean Spencer. So they really couldn't get into the regions of the state or into the regional recruiting around Pennsylvania and assigned areas, because they needed to do this so quickly that they just, whatever the position you were playing, they would then assign the position coach to be the lead recruiter on you. That's how they did it this time. Now, when they do national recruiting, for example, say there is a great player in California they want to get. Just say, right? Okay, but that great player is a running back. Well, at that point, they'll take the running back coach and he'll go out. And he'll be the one to talk and be the lead recruiter for that individual. The tight end, they'll send out John Donovan, the offensive coordinator, because he's also in charge of the tight ends. So if it's a national guy, it's going to be the position coach that's the lead recruiter. Regional, each one of the nine will have a region around Pennsylvania, and each one of the nine has a section of Pennsylvania. That's how it's going to work here. That's not how it worked in this particular process. Okay? So if they need a great running back and he's from Washington State and he is expects a great interest in Penn State, they would send Charles Huff out to be the lead recruiter. So that's how that worked. That will then change once this class is settled. That's where you'll see down the road very quickly, I would say that they will, if James Franklin probably already has sections of the state divvied up and then regions divvied up, but they're going to then start. That's where he said we're a little behind on 15 and 16 recruiting. He said that in the interview. This is where they'll make up for it like that once each assistant gets assigned, gets deeply into the section of the state that is theirs and the region surrounding Pennsylvania that's theirs. Because of the 3-week period, they couldn't do that. Come back, wrap it up. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Here from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. If this were the Olympics, we would assign Kevin a region outside of Sochi. Fully, of course, armed. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome. Great to have you with us. As we close out, it'll be Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated, and also Greg Pickle, Fight on State tomorrow, each talking about Penn State recruiting. We'll then widen the scope and talk about Big Ten recruiting with Tim Van Oren from ESPN.com coming up on Thursday. Thursday's show will be from East Lansing. Only I could escape the cold and snow of Pennsylvania and go to Michigan.
You do know it's probably cold and snowy there, too.
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Sure. Yes, I do. Believe me, every time I get off the plane in one of these locales, you know what I think? I think of three things. You know what the three things I think of are?
What's that?
A, C, C. Why didn't we go there? Okay? Could be at Florida State and Miami right now. Georgia Tech.
We never schedule Hawaii. Why not?
That's what last night there was. I emceed an event last night. I mean, this is what, three straight days I've had something like this. I had a baseball event, believe it or not, on Saturday night with Mitch Williams and from SI. I keep wanting to say Tom Venerino. That's not it.
You told me, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I know. But I did that on Saturday. Last night was the Varsity S, where anyone who won a letter for the first time, we had a ceremony for them. And this is across the board, hockey, softball, baseball, football, men's basketball, the whole thing.
That's a lot of letters.
It was a lot of athletes last night. I mean, for example, I don't think people realize DJ Newbill won his first letter with Penn State last year, so he got it last night. As an example, Christian Hackenberg and Adam Bredeman. Remember earlier in the show I said I talked with both of them last night? I was at this event. And they were going through it and reading the names, and they got to a softball player from Hawaii. And I stopped and I said, please tell me that your visit was during the spring. I said, if not, what did they say to convince you to come here? I Hawaii. All over the place. I mean, they're really all over the place. There was one athlete from Puerto Rico, one from Brazil, one from Lyon, France. Right? None from Russia. For some reason, they wouldn't let them out. I don't know. So tomorrow and Thursday, recruiting. Plus Jeff Byers on Penn State Wrestling later in the week as well. So we have a lot going on. We have a lot going on.
Penn State got a big win. Well, all their wins anymore seem to be big wins, but got a big win on Sunday.
Yeah.
Not a surprise win, but...
Kevin.
I mean, did... What was it? Kevin. Single digits, I think.
Kevin, this is like watching UConn women's basketball. Okay, really. It's like watching UConn women's basketball. One thing that's impressive about women's volleyball at Penn State, Russ has won all those championships. You know how hard fought some of the last three rounds of that thing happened to be for him? I mean, really. But watching this, it is like watching the wrestling version of Sherman going through Atlanta.
I'm trying to remember, what was the final?
Let's march this out. I don't know, 49-3, 42-3, 39-3. I was like 42-3 or something like that. I mean, they didn't even let that kid back on the plane. No, just kidding.
Zane Rutherford still unbeaten at 23-0.
But you know what? You know how much I personally like Cale Sanderson. I mean, as a person, you know, best wrestler ever, awesome coach, the whole thing. But you know how much I like Cale as a person because he's so humble. You'd never know he is the biggest name in his sport. He's one of the guys. He got up at an athletic event and he looked at everybody in the crowd and he pointed at Patrick Chambers. He said he has the single hardest job here. Okay. It's really great when the legendary wrestling coach gets it. Remember, wrestling's a rural sport. Pennsylvania's a rural state.